The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A pastor friend of mine called me up middle of this week, feeling empty, feeling like he had no spirit, no power, no faith, and reminded of the words that we hear from Romans this morning that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That when we're empty, sometimes we run further away from God rather than towards God and God's Word. Because without the Spirit, we find ourselves stuck, don't we? Jesus mentions in our gospel lesson that we'll get sin and righteousness wrong without the Spirit. I always love Martin Luther's sacristy prayer, because we can't do anything without God. The prayer goes like this: "Lord God, you have appointed me as a bishop and pastor in your church, but you see how unsuited I am to meet so great and difficult a task. If I had lacked your help, I would have ruined everything long ago. Therefore, I call upon you. I wish to devote my mouth and my heart to you. I shall teach the people. I myself will learn and ponder diligently upon your word. use me as your instrument. And this is a line that whenever, if anybody ever says, good sermon, pastor, I usually remind them of this. But do not forsake me, for if I ever should be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. Isn't that the truth? If we're on our own, we'll easily wreck it all, and we'd be going nowhere. So the Holy Spirit is intricate in how we come to know the God who is with us. When there's the proclamation of God's law, the Spirit moves us to the good news of Jesus Christ. It moves us to see that we need Jesus, that we need a Savior, that we no longer rely on ourselves, but put our faith and trust in God. The good news is here, my sisters and brothers. God's kingdom is in our midst. Earth has been transformed by heaven. I had the privilege of preaching at the Diaconia graduation yesterday, and I want to share some of the things I shared yesterday, because understanding the beauty of Pentecost, I think, kind of relates to how we understand the importance of a God who was crucified, died, ascended, and risen. Robert Barron reminds us that there's a difference between Greek and Jewish thought when we think of heaven and earth. You see, a Greek understanding, I think it permeates our culture to this day. There's an understanding that the body and the world are simply prisons that we want to escape from, right? People talk like that. You know, once I die, my soul leaves, it goes to heaven, and that's that. But that's not a Jewish Hebrew understanding of reality. A Jewish understanding of heaven and earth does not see heaven and earth in opposition to each other. The people of Israel, if you look at the Hebrew Bible, Israel sees heaven as a place where we encounter God and the angels. And earth is a place where we have human beings and God's good creation. But heaven and earth in Jewish thought are intertwined with each other. Think of the Lord's Prayer. It's a very Jewish prayer that Jesus prays. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth are intertwined. As Barron puts it, salvation then is the transfiguration of earth by heaven. So now we think of the story of Jesus that we go through every time in the church year, year after year, right? The incarnation, God taking on human flesh, is God transfiguring us, humanity. God entering human's creation is God transfiguring God's creation, right? Entering into this world as a human being. And then he dies, he's crucified, and then you have this bodily resurrection. God isn't trying to create a way in which we're escaping from the world. God, on the other hand, is entering into the world, entering into our messiness, but transfiguring it. Think about all the put together, some of those stories we've heard in the Easter season, that the resurrected Jesus is a body, not a soul that tried to escape, but a body, a resurrected, transformed, glorified body. A body that eats, a body that says, I'm not a ghost, a body that shows the wounds of the crucifixion. Earth is transfigured by the incarnation and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the 40th day of Easter every year, this past year it happened to land on May 10th, is the Feast of the Ascension, right? 40 days after the Feast of the Ascension. Kind of a forgotten feast, unfortunately, I think, nowadays. But it's when our resurrected Lord ascends into heaven. And this has a direct connection with Pentecost. So if you thought I made a huge U-turn going around, it has a direct connection with Pentecost. Because in Jesus, we've seen something from heaven come down to earth. In Jesus, we've seen something from heaven come down to earth that transfigures the earth. But now that earthly part of Jesus, his glorified and risen body, ascends into heaven. And what happens at Pentecost? Something from heaven comes back down to earth. Something of earth goes up to heaven. Something of heaven comes back down to earth. Heaven and earth are intertwined. So when the God we believe in as Christians, we're always encountering heaven on earth when we encounter the one true God. So this Holy Spirit isn't trying to get us to escape, isn't snatching us from this world, but gives us the ability to immerse ourselves in this world. The kingdom of heaven is on earth, my sisters and brothers, and this Holy Spirit that you and I have equips us to point and share that truth with all people. In various ways, we practice and witness and give testimony to the faith. This is what we hear in John's gospel today, that the Spirit will give us the truth, the ability to testify to God's salvation. This is all it means to be part of the church, to be part of the body of Christ, transformed and transfigured through those waters of baptism. As the body of Christ, as the church, we're singing with the choirs of angels, right? With the hosts of heaven. Heaven has come down to earth. There's harmony in our voices from earth and heaven. It is intertwined. And that Holy Spirit that gathers us for worship sends us out into the world, sharing and testifying to the good news of Jesus Christ, inviting others to experience and encounter and immerse themselves in the fullness of salvation that we have in the living God. So this Holy Spirit enables us to be filled. It moves us to Jesus. It moves, and when we're moved to Jesus and know Jesus, we see God the Father. And then we're going somewhere because we're following the way of the Lord. We're not stuck. We're not empty, but we're filled. We're free. The Holy Spirit shows us the way. And I want us to be careful when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It can't be reduced to an experience. Sometimes there's a stereotype that if you have the Spirit, you got to be some kind of holy roller, right? The Holy Spirit is alive and well in stoic Germans, I assure you, right? And the Holy Spirit is alive and well in African-American gospel choirs. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in holy roller Hispanic communities. What do we hear in the gospel? The Holy Spirit's about the truth, right? Not about a culture or a piety and how it's expressed, but about the truth. And stoic German Christians or, you know, African-American Christians or Hispanic Christians, there's a diversity of Christianity. There's a diversity in the body of Christ, right? We get that in Acts of the Apostles. But they're all going to testify to the same truth. This, when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide us in all truth. And we proclaim that. We share that. We belong to that truth, my sisters and brothers. We embody it. And we are no longer afraid or stuck or lost in bringing heaven on earth to others, because that's where the church intersects with the earth, right? We're that intersection between heaven and earth, so to speak. And we testify to this truth that God's love is for all people, that we don't possess God, but we are God's precious possession. And this God who is revealed to us in truth, as the way, the truth, and the life, we want to share that with others. We don't want to give people hell. We want to give them heaven, right? Give them heaven. We're sent out into this world to literally give them heaven. And when we give them heaven, we proclaim the truth that we hear in Acts of the Apostles, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You and I experience heaven on earth on a regular basis. The Spirit that gathers us together, the Spirit brings us to worship so we hear forgiveness of sins, fed and nourished in the Word, fed and nourished with our Lord's precious body and blood. That very Spirit sends us out after we've experienced worship with the angels and the hosts of heaven to point to others in this broken world. This isn't a world to escape from, but a world to see that heaven and God's presence has broken into. So, filled with the Spirit, my sisters and brothers, may we call others to see heaven, give them heaven, knowing that the name of the Lord has saved us now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.